Welcome. This is She, aka Susanna, and it is Thursday evening here in North America on the West Coast. And tonight we're going to talk about fear, fearless, losing the fear and finding a lot more pleasure in living when we do this. And how this relates to loving self is one of those another intricate keys. We talked about non-attachment being an intricate key for loving self. Being fearless is a huge key to loving self, because basically that means you trust yourself. And typically when we have a level of trust, that means that we can actually allow ourselves to love ourselves. So tonight we're going to dive in there. What our lineup looks like is we're going to do a little quick review on last week, and then we're going to talk about this fear. We'll share a little parable, some music, some poetry, guided imagery to help us release the fear, and we'll discover the result together, open it up for some Q&A if anyone has some questions. I received one thus far. And if you do have a question, feel free. You can call in if you're listening to this live to at 646-200-0069. Again, 646-200-0069. If you are on the chat board, you can sign in there and you can type in a question. That's located at the Blog Talk Radio page. And finally, if you want to have an offline Q&A, please feel free to email me at s@suzannetoro.com, and that's SUZANNETORO.com. And I really look forward to hearing from you at any time that you wish to reach out. So what did we do last week? We talked about anxiety, which actually leads us to fear, and we dove in a little bit to the root, which will dive further into this week. We talked about how we can go to that root, which basically goes to two places. One, our foundational needs, not wants, needs, which we would classify as food, water, and shelter. And then the other one would be fear of death or fear of living. And those two things get us to that level, are pretty much what perpetuate any type of anxiety that we might be experiencing. So as we meandered through that experience last week, and as I was sharing some of potential practices and wisdom, I realized that it would be really helpful to go deeper into fear. And fear we can describe in many different ways. We can actually think about it as a visceral response. And it might, we might say we're afraid of something or someone, yet the baseline is it comes from our inner self. And that's part of our inner work when we realize that we have fear or anxiety. Those are kind of indicators, like big red flags, like, hello, I'm nervous about this and why, and let's examine it so I can release it and move beyond it, because that becomes an obstacle. So we're going to dive in there. We're going to talk about what fear is. And before we do that, we're going to listen to a little poetry by Shel Silverstein again. Notice I'm bringing in some children poetry, which I love. And it's called It's Dark in Here. I'm writing these poems from inside a lion, and it's rather dark in here. So please excuse the handwriting, which may not be too clear. But this afternoon, by the lion's cage, I'm afraid I got too near. And I'm writing these lines from inside a lion, and it's rather dark in here. I thought that was very poignant for right now. and then the picture is this cute boy's hand coming out of a lion's mouth, writing the poem, as a lion is very calm and quiet. So what is fear? What is this thing? I kind of came to the realization today that fear is actually nothing, absolutely nothing. It is a construct of the mind and potentially manifests or actualizes itself as a visceral response in our entire being, whether it be anxiety, stress, heart palpitations, something stored in our body, or it might be in an instance where fear would be manifest itself in a fight for flight mode. And in that instant, you're responding to a life-threatening situation. It's an instinct that we all have, and we will, no matter what, react in that moment exactly how we need to be. Now, that moment gets us to what? Save our life. So if you can think for a moment and ask yourself, what is fear? What is it? Can you feel it? Ask yourself the question. Can you touch it? Feel it? Touch it? Can you hold it? Can you hold that fear? Can you taste it? Can you smell it? Can you see it? Now, as I say these, in some instances, we can definitely observe it in others, right? We can see it in others, but can we see it in ourselves? We could feel it in ourselves, potentially, the emotional response, but can you actually, if I said, where is the fear? I might be able to see these manifestations and responses on your physical being, but can you actually physically pick it up anywhere, right now? If I say, go get the fear and bring it back to me, I can't get it. I can't go get it right now. I can't see it right now because I'm not in a place of fear. So it only manifests upon us when that trigger is pulled, whether we have a life-threatening situation or if we feel our immediate needs will not be met, like we talked about last week. So within that, how do we make peace with this? Because this is really key, because it affects everything we do. Fear can obstruct us in learning because we might be afraid to fail. We might be afraid that we won't please someone else. Fear in every moment is available for us to turn away from. And how can we master it? So tonight I would like you to start by writing down, what are you afraid of? What are the things that you feel are holding you back? Just above those root needs. Maybe those root needs are your fear, and maybe death is your fear. But what else are you afraid of? And we'll chase it back to the root needs. So if you're afraid of, like we talked about last week, losing your job, losing your home, losing your family members, losing something, anything, that would go to your base needs once we get there, to the food, water, and shelter. And if you're afraid to die, or if you're afraid to live, again, those are our baseline. That's pretty much it that we can be afraid of. But as I asked you, what are you afraid of right now? So if you just extrapolate it to a spider, a bird, your boss, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Write it down. And then I want you just to circle that. I am afraid of my boss. I am afraid to live. I am afraid to travel. I'm afraid to fly. I'm afraid to be stuck in small places. I'm afraid to swim. I'm afraid to be silent. Okay? Anything it might be. I'm afraid to be alone. Whatever it is, I just want you to write it down, circle it, and then I want you to write down these three things. There are going to be two sides to it. One, that you're afraid, baseline, we're going to get to the baseline, right? Baseline, and then write food, water, and shelter. And then next to that, I want you to write live, die. Okay? I want you to draw a line, and if you have more than one fear, I want you to connect the dots to which baseline thing it might be. Okay? So I'm afraid of spiders. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid of spiders. I'm afraid that I won't have food. Whatever it might be, just instinctively ask yourself a question, draw the dots, draw the lines. And then I want you, if you have more than one fear, do the same thing over. And then I want you to circle what those baseline realizations are. And someone might say they're not afraid to die. But if you have a fear, it may not be death you're afraid of, but maybe you're afraid that you're going to not have your immediate root needs met. So look at it. And nothing to get too attached to, but we're going somewhere with this. And then circle it. Okay? So you have five options: food, water, shelter, living, and dying. Circle them, and if you have to circle all of them, that's fine too. Okay? Now I just want you to sit with that while I tell you a little story. Okay? Some of you out there might know how to swim. This is really an interesting fear because we're actually created in water, right? We're created in the womb. And, you know, the eggs become a zygote, goes through the fallopian tubes, it implants itself on the uterus, starts to grow, and a human being is formed. And as that being is formed, it's in a sac, but it's also in water, in your mother's womb. So it's very fascinating to me that people have this fear of water. Now, I have a little secret that I haven't told many, and other people might know it too, is actually when we're going through the process, now if you don't believe that you live more than one life, then you can dismiss what I'm saying, but you could listen just maybe because you're curious. But there's a process that we go through. It is basically that we are born and then we live a life in 3D perceived dimension. Then we leave our body. And at that point in time, there's this precious period where we are actually afforded to reconcile our life. Now, depending what your belief system is, you can connect with that any way you want. My father and I talk about this all the time. We always draw parallels back to Catholicism for him because that's how he was raised. I was actually raised Protestant. It doesn't matter what faith you are. You can just reconcile this moment that when you leave your body, you have an idea where you're going to go. So the story I'm going to share is that actually you leave your body and you go to this place, which in Buddhist terms is known as the Bardo. In Native American terms, it's known as the Bardo. It's a period of time where we get to reconcile our life, what we've done. We get to face ego and see what we're attached to and what we're not. So when we're looking at our fears, these baseline ones that you circled, you might find your attachments. Now, notice I didn't throw any people in there, but sometimes those are the attachments too. And you might have had, you're afraid to lose your child, you're afraid to lose this or that, but then if you have to draw a line to what it's attached to, it's really telling. And if you couldn't draw a line immediately, it's okay. Just think about it for a little bit and let's see where that line goes. Just ask yourself, let yourself have an intuitive answer, afraid to my partner. And what's that baseline thing that you're afraid of losing if that lover leaves or partner leaves or child leaves? What are you going to lose when that happens? Are you going to face your own mortality? Are you going to have to finally live your life because that person left your life so you finally can live your life? Are you afraid that you're not going to be provided for food, water, and shelter because they leave? That's very possible, and it could be all of those. So in this beautiful period of time, we reconcile, and then guess where we go? We go down this little wild ride, kind of like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. And he's like, imagine we don't know where we'll go. And you go through the psychedelic tunnel. So you're traveling down, and it's basically you have to enter water. So what I found in the work I do with people one-on-one, people that have this fear is because they might have this memory of going into the water, and that's entering the mother's womb. Now, if you believe only in one incarnation or one time or doesn't matter, one moment, that's okay. You still would have gone through this process, and maybe you didn't go through the reconciliation period. Maybe you went and met your creator in the sky. Whatever you want the story to be, I'm totally fine with that. But at some point in time, to get into that womb, you went through a period of time that took you through a tunnel system which had water in it. And that could be why you might be afraid of water or not. And it could be frightening in that moment because you might not know what the heck's going on. But if you surrender to it, A, you have more time to decide what you want to bring with you and what you don't want to bring with you. So my story is about swimming. Now, as a child, I was born on the islands. I love the ocean. Ironically enough, my sister growing up, she is an amazing swimmer, but she didn't learn to swim till much later. She was afraid of the water. She was older than me. She was on the islands too, and she learned how to be in the ocean, but she could stand. So when she had to learn to swim, it was a little bit traumatic. Now, I taught swim lessons for years, and I loved the little children because they were so close to this experience of going through this process of being in the womb that many of them are afraid. So I remember when I was a child, we signed up for swim lessons and we went to the pool, and there was Dr. Gordon. He had this great safari hat, great beard, and he was there to teach us to swim. And I was just a lot when I was younger in observation of people, still am. And I remember one of my girlfriends, Annette, she was so afraid. She clung to the fence and hung on really, really tight and screamed and yelled and did not want to go in the water. And we would just stare and stare at her. I was like, wow, that's pretty intense. She's really scared of this process. And I would experience this when I taught kids swim lessons. They would have a sincere fear of this. Now, what is that about? Well, in that moment, when you're afraid like that, that definitely was. She was afraid that she was going to die. She was afraid that she was going to drown. Now, Dr. Gordon did this beautiful thing with us. He would actually have a stroke, a few strokes, and then he'd back up. Stroke a few more, back up. As once you swim 25 meters, you pass the class and you can go on to swim team. Pretty simple. So this was a simple illustration for me as a kid. Like, wow, you could accomplish so much by just moving forward bit by bit. And the reason I share this story with you about swimming and about fear, because many of you probably have witnessed this and might understand, if you are afraid of swimming, why you might be afraid of swimming. And please know, I taught many adults to swim. You can still learn to swim. It's the most liberating thing to do. So in that moment, you know, I watched Annette go through these really intense experiences, and then finally she got it. She trusted, one, she trusted our teacher, but more importantly, she trusted herself. So in no time at all, he was patient with her. Bit by bit, she made it across those 25 meters. And guess what? She had complete freedom to swim and play with us in the pool, because that's what we did. We loved to swim in the pool because we lived in a hot place after leaving those islands in the middle of the desert, and nothing feels better than to be able to swim in cool water in the summer. So with you, the reason I share this is that whatever your fear is right there, it's just like little Annette swimming across the pool bit by bit with Dr. Gordon stepping a little bit, a little bit, and a little bit. And then, sure enough, when you master that fear in that moment, all of a sudden, before you know it, you're all the way across the pool. And I had this lesson mirrored to me when I learned to ski. One of my friend's fathers, he, not that I was afraid, but he really wanted to teach me about getting up and being really proud about what I accomplished. So he'd be like, knock me down and say, no, get up and look at how far you came. So the same thing with your fears, you can think about how can you master your fear and take it bit by bit. So whatever you wrote down that you're afraid of, whether it's spiders or anything like that, and then whatever you chose as your root, I just want you to think about that for now. And are you ready to master that? And that might mean, if you're afraid of spiders, getting near spiders, because it'll take you to that root. It'll help you push through without over-intellectualizing this root. But tonight we're going to do a little bit of letting go. So while you contemplate what you circled on the base, one of those five, food, water, shelter, or living or dying, what you're afraid of, I want you to sit back with that. We're going to go into a song called Let Go by Frau Frau, one of my favorites from a movie called Garden State.
Baby, hide, 'cause it's all going off without you.
So we're going to just dive into a guided meditation. So let's just go into the heart center. Take a deep, deep breath, breathing in and out. And I just want you to imagine in this moment that which you're afraid of. I want you to bring it in, call it in around you, and just take some deep breaths as you welcome that in, whatever it might be, even if you don't know, if you can't identify it or touch it or feel it. And I want you to breathe into your heart as you face it. You might be feeling it in your solar plexus, but I want you to bring that energy into your heart center and ask yourself, are you ready? Are you ready to let go of that? And then in your mind's eye, as you feel this energy around you, I just want you to imagine releasing it. Facing it first, look it square in the eye. And then if it's a matter of doing something, I want you to imagine yourself doing it. If it's a matter of touching it, imagine yourself touching it. If it's it's a matter of confronting something, I want you to imagine yourself confronting it. And as you do that, I just want you to allow these tones to wash over you and surround you and give you the support needed to face your fear straight on. Could be walking across a canyon, whatever it might be, just create it in your mind and imagine yourself moving beyond it. Continue to imagine yourself confronting and moving through that which you fear. I want you to bring your energy down to your solar plexus, to your stomach, and just connect with the emotions and the feelings that you might have surrounding this issue. And I just want you to feel into the element of fire. And then I want you to welcome in the element of water and wind to just bringing down the temperature level. From the solar plexus down to the base of the spine. I just want you to imagine yourself sitting on the earth in the one spot that just makes you feel safe and cozy and warm and provided for. Feel all the elements that exist in that landscape. Feel them envelop you. Feel the earth. The water. Feel the fire. Feel your heart just connect with the earth. And I just want you to imagine whatever that was that you were afraid of, whatever fear you have, however it manifests and articulates itself in a moment, just want you to imagine yourself sending it to the earth. I want you to connect to the earth. And then also, I want you to remember whatever that root or several roots were. If you feel afraid to live or die, if you're afraid that you won't have food, water, or shelter, just connect to the earth's energy and remember her vastness in everything that's given to us on this earth. Remember the beauty. Oh, feel that beauty. Feed that beauty to your fear and anxiety. Oh, feel the creation energy. And just feel how you're held and cradled, and no one else is required. Nothing. Now I just want you to connect your heart, deep breaths in and out, feeling your stillness, feeling your calmness, just remembering your perfection, and that everything that we need, every moment, is right in front of us, right around us. And if you can't see it, then I'm certain you don't have to go too far to find it. You need to breathe, inhale. If you're hungry, look around you. Go outside. There's food out there. It's free. If you need shelter, look around. And if you don't have shelter, go outside. There's some out there. It's free. And if you're afraid to die, more than likely you're afraid to live. Look around. There's life moving around us at all time. There's all this opportunity to experience that which is around us if we're present in the moment. Take another deep, full breath. Beautiful. Now just take a moment just to be. Gently open your eyes. Look around and ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Does your answer feel a little different? Is the charge a little bit less? Just connect with that. And we're going to go into some tools in a moment, but I'm going to read you a little Walt Whitman from The Leaves of Grass and Selected Prose. The voice of the rain. And who art thou? Said I to the soft falling shower, which, strange to tell, gave me an answer, as here translated. I am the poem of earth, said the voice of the rain. Eternal I rise, impalpable, out of the land and the bottomless sea, upward to heaven, whence vaguely formed, altogether changed, and yet the same. I descend to the lave, the dross, the atomies, dust layers of the globe, and all that in them, without me, were seeds only, latent, unborn, and forever, by day and night, I give back life to my own origin and make pure and beautify it. For song issuing from its birthplace, after fulfillment, wandering, wrecked or unwrecked, duly with love returns. The Voice of Rain by Walt Whitman. So, are you ready to let go of fear? You know, and sometimes we don't know what our fear is till it happens. So, right now, before we go into the tools, I want to encourage anyone that has any questions, we'll go into Q&A shortly. You are free to either type them in on the chat board, or you can call in at 646-200-0069. Press 1 if you want to ask a question. Again, 646-200-0069. If you want to email, you can do it at s@suzannetoro.com. So, question is, how do we practice this? Can take you through a nice, soft, meditation or imagery and help you relax into the fear and look at the fear and face it, I really encourage you to keep contemplating it in every moment. Now, when we have a fear, the fastest way to work through it is to face it, to master it. And it might require just walking across the tightrope over an open canyon. That, if that's a true fear and you feel like that's holding you back, then that might be something you want to explore. It might just be experiencing something that's really, really induces that fear and seeing what happens when you experience it and move on the other side. A couple summers back, I took my kids zip lining, and it was up in Whistler in Canada. It's an amazing place. And the first run, you go through several runs, is called Godzilla. And it's really high. It's above the canopy. And I remember my children looking at me like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. And I was like, you can do this. What happened in that moment was, one, I knew that that was going to be the most difficult drop for them to let go and fly across the top of a forest. Now, mind you, both these children have skied before. They've done jumps, and they're not naturally timid children. So they were genuinely scared. And not that anyone's not. But what happened is I just allowed our guides to coerce them out and inspire them to try it. And what happened after the first run, they were able to feel so empowered that they took the zip line and were excited for the next one and the next one. And within that moment, they felt a sense of accomplishment and they wanted to go back. So we have the ability in every moment to realize that if we face that thing we're afraid of, that how empowered we're going to feel. And what is the ultimate result? I'm going to let you know now before the end of the show is freedom. Once we master our fears and let go of every little ounce of what we might be afraid of, then we can live freely. Then we can love ourselves freely. And then at that point, when we love ourselves freely, we are afforded the opportunity to really authentically start relating to one another. And our whole worldview changes. We can have a lot of opinions, pontifications, ideas, and concepts, dive into a lot of experiences with each other. Yet if we have not mastered all of our root fears, I would venture to say that we're probably not living fully. In fact, I know it. I'll promise you that you're not living fully. And there are layers. We can master this aspect of saying, you know, honestly, I'm not afraid to die. I love death. I think it's the most beautiful transition that we're afforded. Yet, doesn't mean that I might, if my way to go is something rather not in my mind's eye, like laying in a bed and leaving my body in a transcendental state. If I have to go in a different way, it doesn't mean that I might not have fear coming up. And can I surrender in that moment? So, and can I be still in that moment? Each level is a level of mastery. So think about, are you willing to master this? Are you willing to let yourself get to a point where you're okay with and knowing that you, A, pretty much will always have the opportunity to find food, water, and shelter. It's provided in nature. Nature's free. So, you know, if you are on the streets, then you could go out in the mountains. If you understand that and can really let go of not needing anything, you'll feel safe. You'll be like, great, I could go out in the wilderness and live off the land if I needed to. And also, if you're afraid because you don't know what is on the other side of the big transition, death or birth, you know, that could be just equally as scary for your soul, is that you have this opportunity right now in this moment to say, gosh, I'm ready. No matter how it's confronted to me, no matter how I exit or how I enter, I'm ready for it. So that is the result. And then you can live freely once you master this. And you just won't be afraid of anything. And if something comes up, you'll be like, wow, I'm afraid of that. Let's walk towards it. Let's go off the Godzilla zip line and see what that's all about and what wisdom's available. So what are the tools that we can do? One is to walk through the fears, experience them, be afraid of heights, learn how to walk on high places, learn to embrace it and feel the freedom. If you are afraid of confrontation, start putting yourself in a situation where you can walk into confrontation, stay calm, collected, and excited. If you're not a transparent communicator, practice being a transparent communicator. If you know that that's tied to a fear, address it. Keep putting yourself into the situation where you can empower yourself and master it. Now, how we can practice this on a daily basis is in action. Like I said, face it, face on, and experience it. If you're afraid of spiders, say, gosh, I'm going to go somewhere where I can be with spiders. I can hang out with them. I can learn about them. I can connect with them and see why I'm afraid. Whatever it might be, see if you can afford yourself the opportunity to be in that situation, if that seems healthy and it's not associated with an addiction, a compulsive habit. You know, you have to be honest about some of these things with yourself. Another way to practice and dive into what your root fear is go into silence. Meditation is the key, in my opinion, almost the answer to anything you might want to figure out about yourself. It's just to be quiet with self, sit in silence. Some people are like, I can't do that. Well, my response to that is that's absolutely absurd. You spent 9 months in a womb, completely silenced for this dimension. You might have vibratory been able to listen and hear and interact in that way, but you weren't able to speak. So you are able to be in the moment and be silent and open yourself to understanding what that fear is. So if you take time out each day, allow yourself to be silent and see what that fear is about. Go to the depths. Go to that root, those five things, food, water, shelter, death, or leaving. Or living. Leaving. Death, leaving, same thing. The next thing is to observe your fear. Allow yourself to be present with your fear. What is the fear? Observe yourself when you're in that visceral response where you're having anxiety, you can't breathe, you're in fight for flight. What's the worst thing that could happen in that moment? One of those five things? Are you okay with not having one of those five things? If the answer is yes, then the fear could wash away. You'll just stare it. It doesn't mean that you won't take action, especially if you need to take fight for flight. It doesn't mean that you won't take action, but you'll go into Jedi mode versus this mode of high adrenaline. There's a difference. I was a lifeguard. I wouldn't go into fight for flight if someone was drowning. I would go and save them. I've done that for people on the street. I don't go into the fight for flight response. My adrenals don't start going. I actually go into a mode of, that's what I need to do. There's no fear involved in that. It's just knowing. And so that's where, if we can get to, we feel the freedom. Then the other part is to make sure during this process you make yourself safe. So let's say you do have a fear of birds or some kind of animals. And I bring birds up because I love birds. I talk to them, but I didn't realize I had a fear of them in this life. And I had a roommate that had a bird and it flew out at me and it caused me to go into a visceral response and to hyperventilate. And I was like, wow. And then when I would spend time in Italy, because there's so many birds there on different piazzas, I had to experiment with that. And I would have my safety net was I would have someone around me to walk across the piazza with all the pigeons, because all those wings and everything For whatever reason, it's not even rational, not even from this lifetime, I was afraid. Might have been back to the whole Wizard of Oz and the flying monkeys thing, because that really freaked me out as a kid. I did not want to be taken away by a flying monkey. So in this moment, just think about how you can make yourself safe, especially if it's something like learning to swim, you know, getting yourself with trusted individuals that can help you work through that. Now, what I mentioned earlier was, what is the result? Well, the result is freedom. And then also even the title for this evening was that if you fear less things, that you live more. And that part is so beautiful, because you are able to really experience life, that in every moment, no longer are you acting out of fears, ulterior motives, manipulating situations because you're afraid of something. You're living authentically, and you're like, wow, I'm going to show up and be here like this. So that's the beauty, because what happens, and I'll relate this even to in being in relationship with someone, we might not allow ourselves to have a level of intimacy with someone because we've decided that, you know what, we don't need that. We don't need that level of intimacy. We can move in and out of relating to someone in a heart space, or stay out of the heart space because we're too afraid to go there, because it'll make us really vulnerable. If we open up our heart to loving someone or loving ourselves, that might be a fear, because you're maybe afraid of rejection, all those things. And basically, that would root to our root needs. Our basic needs maybe not be met, or we might not be able to continue living, or we might start living. So to be really honest with yourself, I've watched this. I've worked in the entertainment industry. I've watched people maneuver themselves through many addictive behaviors, through sex, alcohol, drugs, all these different things, these coping mechanisms to keep ourselves from living, because we have a root fear or a root dependency. Basically, it all comes to fear. We have a root fear that will keep us from living authentically and truly with self. And when we do that, in my humble opinion, when we live authentically and fear less, we come completely integrity with our own core ethics. And we realize that our choices in every moment impact everyone. And we have a lot more discernment as to how we're going to share energies with each other, how we're going to do business with each other. Because then we, all of a sudden, if we're in a fearless place, then we immediately can see in other people, just like you might have seen earlier, what other people's fears are. You might realize, like, wow, they're really nervous right now. And do I want to manipulate them into being in business with me or going somewhere with me because they're afraid? Or do I need to be really honest with them in this moment and say, wow, you know, you're experiencing some fear. Let's talk about that and move past it, so then we can go to the next thing. This is really humbling when you realize that most of our society is operating through a mechanism where they have ulterior motives to experience life because they're afraid of something. So that is why I feel it's so important to do this inner work, because if we can move beyond that, then we can get a lot more truer with ourselves. We can actually experience life. I was blessed with two parents, and they're still here with me, that adore me and adore my sister and adored my brother and still do. And within that, you know, I could still recognize within our family, you know, what each one of us was afraid of and how we maneuvered in and out of situations with each other, and still do, because we have layers of inner work to do. So if you weren't able to completely decide what you're afraid of and how it relates, look at your close relationships. How are you interacting with them? Are you keeping them at hand's distance because you feel like you don't need to get closer because you'll make you too vulnerable? Or are you manipulating people into things in your life because that'll keep you safe? In your close family that you were born into, what kind of relationships do you have with each one of these people? And what have you been able to observe in them? And what have your parents, if you had the fortune of being around them, mirrored to you? What's the wisdom? And did they project any fears on you? These are all things to contemplate. So when I talk about observation, take some time in this next week to observe that which triggers fear. Take some time to visualize how you can release that fear. Decide who can help you through a situation and how you can make yourself safe so you can explore what that means, what that fear is, and how you can go into that place and get rid of it and release it. And keep seeing yourself just letting it go, letting it go. I used the visual last week with a group of people. Hold your hands in a fist. And then imagine yourself releasing it, holding your fist and releasing it, just like the anxiety we talked about. And we went into this last week, but this is just going into it a little bit deeper and from a different angle, holding the fist and letting go. So much easier, less effort to let go. If it feels like there's a rub in your life where it's not flowing, even if you committed billions of dollars to be there, but it's not flowing, let it go. Okay? It's not worth it. If you're in a relationship that's push-pull, it's not worth it. Let it go. Sometimes when you let that go, something else can manifest. So right now, we're going to go into some questions and see what this beautiful individual had to ask me. She wrote, regarding letting go of fear, I become more in tune with managing my fear. I find myself unsure about how best to be compassionate and helpful when those I love are thick and deep in fear. Can you advise me how to be best supportive and loving? And perhaps I need to pay attention to what is being reflected that is relevant to me. In fact, is it possible to think you're not afraid when you actually are? I appreciate your guidance and thanks for all you do. Oh, beautiful question. So two things how you can check in. If you notice a fear in someone else, check in with yourself. Check in with your emotional GPS. Are you having an emotional response? If you are, if you're feeling anxiety, your body temperature is rising or getting lower, are you shaking? Is the speed of your voice changing? Notice what's happening. Notice your perception. And if you're having a response, more than likely it might be a fear yourself, and that might be why you're aware of it. If you're just observing it really calm, just seeing, wow, that person's really freaked out right now, then ask yourself the question, how can I serve in this situation? Word of advice. Pontification, even though I'm spending this whole hour with you talking and sharing these wisdoms and practice, isn't going to necessarily help someone in a fearful situation. I've worked with people in the water, many, many of them as they're freaking out. My words would not help them. Holding them would help them. Breathing with them would help them. Allowing them the space to work through that which they're trying to face helps them. So that doesn't mean you run up and hold them really tight, but it might. Or it might be just to say, you know, I'm here for you. If you need something, let me know. And just witnessing them, or not calling it out, but just breathing with them and keeping that in perspective. If you're in a situation where someone is expressing fear through anger or rage, rather than react to it, you have the opportunity to just take a deep breath, either walk away to keep yourself safe, or say that I can help you, but we need to calm down. Again, I'll relate to my lifeguard days. They would give us the biggest person. I'm not very tall. I'm 5 feet tall. I'm not a big, like, huge girl, but they would actually give you, if you were really... Well, either way, they would give you the largest person possible to try to tame in the water. If that's in that instance, to calm a thrashing 270-pound man does not require talking. It requires holding the presence. So that's how you can help someone that's in fear and identify, one, if you're having an emotional response, then note what's happening to you. Then when you move yourself away from them, you can just walk away from the situation and allow yourself to digest that later. Go into silence, observe what you observed, write about it, and then just release it. And take some time, take some steps to address it. And if you find yourself in situations where you're around a bunch of people that carry the same fears, that might just, all that might do is keep that storyline going and keep it perpetuating. So now what we're going to do is we are going to just take a moment to breathe into our heart. And I had someone ask me earlier, because they were complimenting me on my voice, thank you, whoever that was, and they asked me, do I get shy or nervous being naked in front of people? Well, absolutely not. I don't get shy or nervous being naked. I actually like to be naked. They were asking me if bare naked bliss involves being naked. Well, it does. It involves stripping the layers down of ego, stripping the layers down of self, and getting completely honest and authentic with yourself. Now, as far as this birthday suit that we're all afforded, I think the human body is beautiful. And one of my favorite things to do is to actually swim naked. So I've had many people witness me do that. So there's the answer to that question. And so how I want to leave this in this moment is, one, to have you breathe in right now to your heart center and remember that you're love, and that the result of releasing our fears, that which we hold on to, that which we want to know, is freedom. And that freedom gives us permission to love self first of all, not to love another, but to love ourselves. Once we're not afraid, we say, wow, I can actually think I'm pretty cool. I can actually love myself. I can actually start living in every moment. And I can make authentic, integral decisions in every moment. Because all of a sudden, once you're rid of these fears, you realize the choices you're making and why. And you realize those people that show up as to why they are making those choices. So, with that being said, I think the speaker on my phone is not working, and that's why I couldn't hear the song. So hopefully it's the case. So we're going to sign out tonight with Tara. She really wants to help you. She's a remover of obstacles. She keeps appearing. So we've had this one before. This is by Krishna Das, Om Tara. Check it out, relax into the mantras, and welcome in your safety blanket to explore your fears. Until next time, if you want to reach out, send me an email at s@suzannetoro.com, s@suzannetoro.com, and I'll be happy to connect and assist and be in service any way that makes sense for you. And me. And within that, I would like to extend a deep bow, a soft gaze, a full heart, and namaste. We'll see you next time. Enjoy Tara.